Imagine that you're sitting behind the wheel of your car and you're driving 65 miles an hour down a major interstate, and the pavement is sort of wet, and although you're unaware of it, the temperatures outside are dropping rapidly. And it's late at night and you're tired, you've been driving for hours, the radio is on, everyone else in the car is asleep, and all of a sudden, the steering seems different, a little unresponsive. And suddenly you realize that your view has had a dramatic change. Your headlights are sort of peering out over an open pasture. And you realize that your car has begun to spin, and immediately a hot flash just sort of goes through your body, and you instinctively put your foot on the brake, and that only serves to widen the arc of the circles you've already begun spinning on the highway. And all that can happen in just a fraction of a second. And you know that fear of not knowing whether somebody's behind you is going to ram into your car or if you're going to slide into a ditch. But nearly all of us at some time have had an experience something like that. And later on, we're trying to describe to someone what happened. Sometimes we'll say things like, man, it was terrible. We were out of control. And we don't like the feeling of being out of control. It's sort of unnatural to us. It's uncomfortable. Creates a lot of anxiety when we're out of control. And all of us who've been snow skiing a time or two know the experience of being out of control. On some of the trips our church has gone, I've gained the reputation of being sort of an evil Knievel on skis. And not on purpose. I mean, I'm not a daredevil by heart so much. It's just that my skiing style sort of gives people the impression that I'm out of control. I'm not. It just looks that way, you know, to everybody. But we don't like that feeling. I remember several years ago, I had an old 67 MG. I was driving across town to a guy named Charlie where he lived. He was going to fix my brakes on his car. So I had to drive very slowly, very carefully across town, downshifting to slow down and everything, because, I mean, my brakes were gone. There was nothing left. And so after making it safely all the way over, I'm rolling into his driveway, and it had sort of a slope in it. And I realized that I was rolling a little too fast. And so, I mean, I just hit the brakes as hard as I, and it hit the floor. I felt the pedal, the back of the pedal, hit the floor. And in that moment, I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to smash into Charlie's garage door. You know how you think that right before it happened? I mean, a split second later, sure enough, wham! And I thought, this is so crazy. I drive all the way across town through all this traffic, and I wind up plowing right into his garage door. It's ridiculous. But, you know, we don't like the feeling of being out of control. Sometimes I feel that way about international events, like what takes place sometimes in the Middle East, Beirut, or even Central America. It just seems like the situations are just out of control. Or even more so when terrorists bomb embassies and hijack planes and take innocent people as hostages. There's just nothing anybody can do. It's just out of control. And what's more, sometimes we even have things in our own life that sort of get out of control. You know, like we can't control our anger, or we can't control our drinking problem. We can't cope with the stress that we have to deal with. Some of you know the experience of your finances have just, I mean, it's just out of control. Or your emotions can get out of control. Or sometimes different relationships in our life, they're just out of control. And I don't know about you, but I feel extremely uncomfortable when some part of my life seems like it's just sort of spinning out of control. And maybe part of the reason that we feel uncomfortable about that is that we've been made in the image of such an orderly creator. You think of the creation, the sun and the moon and the stars and all the galaxies. I mean, right at this moment, they're careening through space at hundreds of miles a minute. And yet they always remain right on course, never out of control. The four seasons of the year come and go consistently. There's the law of gravity, the law of the harvest, all these different things that are in effect. And it's predictable. It's all organized. You know, it's under control. And just like our Creator, we who are made in His image, we're not made to be out of control, to live in chaos and disorder. We were made to have some structure and some direction to our lives. It gives us a sense of security, stability, purpose. So because of that, for the next 4 weeks, we are going to devote some time to considering getting a grip on our lives. And we're going to devote four Sunday mornings to some areas of life that many of us, maybe not in all four of these areas, but at least in some, we probably have a struggle with trying to get a grip. For instance, we're going to talk about our schedules, getting a grip on what we do with our time. We're going to talk about our bodies, you know, taking care of this home where we live. We're going to talk about our relationship with God, our spiritual life, developing a meaningful friendship with God. And last, we're going to talk about our relationships with all the various people in our lives, being what we should be in those relationships. But this morning we're going to talk about getting a grip on our schedule, getting a grip on our time. Maybe you've heard the verse, James 4:14, where the scripture says, what is life? It asks the question, what is life? Well, the Bible goes on to answer it and say, life is like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We need to get a handle on what we do with our time because we just relatively don't have very much of it. You know, we don't have that much time. We can't afford to just waste time, to not understand what we're doing with our time. Now, there's been a lot of books published recently on the subject of time management and, you know, getting the most out of the least amount of time and so forth. Like there's the popular book that came out, The 1 Minute Manager, which was followed by The 1 Minute Father and The 1 Minute Mother. There's even a new one out now called The 1 Minute Lover. Probably not a real big seller, I wouldn't think, but who knows. Anyway, there's that book out. But we're becoming more and more time conscious in our society. And you think about it, one of the most common expressions of the 80s is, I just don't have enough time. We say it, we hear people say it, I don't have enough time. And earlier up here in the drama, we saw an example of what time management or the lack of time management, how it affects just our everyday lives, getting things done, keeping our lives together. Well, right now, I would like to ask you to do something that I hardly ever do here on Sunday morning, so if you don't feel like doing it, that's all right, you don't have to. But if you would, I think it might help a little bit. If you have a pen, something to write with, get that out, and a piece of paper, or just using your announcement sheet would work fine. If you don't have one, you can just listen, you can visualize this, but if you write it down, it might help it to be a little more clear. All right, first, if you have something like that, draw a circle, about just 2 or 3 inches in diameter, just a circle. And then divide that circle or that pie with a vertical line right in the middle and a horizontal line where you've got like a pie divided into 4 equal slices. All right, now imagine that pie represents your life. 4 different dimensions to your life. And one of those quarters of that pie, write the word career. Or those of you who are still in school, write school, education. Whatever you do that 40, 50 hours a week, there may be some of you here that are, you know, don't work, you have 3 or 4 kids, and that's what you do basically. That's for a living, that's what you do all the time. Write that in there. Your career, your school. And another section of the pie there, write the word recreation, which would refer to exercise, free time, entertainment, what you do to relax. That's a part of our lives, or should be. And another quarter, write spiritual life or spiritual dimension. And in the last one, put relational, the relational aspect of your life, referring to family, friends, co-workers, relatives. Now, if you look at that pie representative of your life, the objective, of course, If you want to live as God intended you to live, and if you want to live life to the fullest, the objective is to maintain a balance in all those four dimensions of your life. But as we all know, since we all live in the same real world together, it's very difficult to keep a balance on our lives. For most of us, I doubt there rarely has been a time when the four slices of our life have been in perfectly equal proportion to each other. That's hard to do. Usually we wind up devoting too much time to this thing and not enough time to that area. I think something that's very common today, and perhaps even for many of us, it's very easy to allow the work or career slice of our pie there to become much more than just a quarter. It goes way beyond that. And for those of us who tend to be workaholics, who tend to, you know, make too large of a percentage of our pie, our work or our career, what happens? What tends to happen? Well, obviously the other areas suffer. They get neglected. We can't put as much time and energy into the other parts of our life. Like, we don't have much time or energy left for God, or to exercise, or for our families. Those areas just sort of get the leftovers. So we need to try to strive for a balance. Maybe you heard about the study that was done by a Cornell University professor trying to determine the amount of time that fathers spend with their young children, like toddler age, real small children. And this guy did some tests and using hidden microphones and putting bugs in rooms and stuff like that. And he recorded the direct interaction that took place between a father and their small child on a daily basis. And they tested this for about 10 to 12 days consecutively with different fathers. Well, they analyzed the data and figured it all out, and they came back, announced the conclusion of this report was that the average amount of time that a father spends in direct interaction with their small child was 37.7 seconds a day. 37 seconds a day. Now you contrast that with the fact that preschool children watch an average of 54 hours of television a week. So you think about it, who really then is raising that child? Who's shaping and influencing that young mind, that young impressionable life? Well, the answer is obvious. And the point is that when we get out of balance, we're going to have problems. It's going to come back to affect us in some other area when we get out of balance. Now, I don't know why is it that, you know, people tend towards being workaholic? What's the root cause of workaholism? Well, some people might say, well, it's greed. You know, it's desire for more money. But not in most cases. Research has indicated that it has far more to do with our self-esteem. Because deep within every single one of us, there's this desire to do something that matters. You know, to be somebody, to do something important, to accomplish something, to have the respect of other people. And for many of us, we get that self-esteem through our jobs. You know, you take our jobs away, and who are we? What do we do? You know, we don't have much meaning left outside of our jobs. It's not money, usually, that we're working for. It's self-worth, feeling good about ourselves. One time, Jesus told a parable about a man who was a workaholic. And man, the guy worked so hard and accumulated so many things that all he was obsessed with was building bigger and bigger barns where he could stockpile and hoard all of these possessions. And of course, in the end, one day the guy dies, leaving behind all of the barns full of all of his things. And it's just descriptive of how when we get our lives out of balance by work or by any other thing, what do we gain? What happened, really? It throws our life all the way off. Now I want you to think about for a moment, looking at the little circle that you drew with the four sections that represent your life. What areas do you tend to devote too much time and attention to? And what areas do you tend to neglect? Well, over the next few weeks, we are going to try to think about how can we get this balance that we need to have on our life But this morning and the rest of the time, I just want to give you three practical suggestions on how to get control of your schedule. How to get control of what you do with your time. And we need to be careful not to lose sight of the fact that time is life's most precious commodity. I mean, you know, your time is your life, right? What you do with your time is what you're doing with your life. Because time is the stuff of which life is made. Remember the verses that Floyd read earlier from Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, where the scripture says, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." It takes some diligence to live according to that, those verses right there. I want to give you three practical suggestions how to get a grip on your time. Number one is write everything down. Don't trust your memory when you're supposed to do something, meet somebody, accomplish something. Write everything down. Let me show you just a practical example of what I'm talking about. Let's say last Sunday we're here having church, we're all having a wonderful time, and all of a sudden the bulb in the slide projector up there burns out. And we use the projector to put the words of the songs on the wall here. But we always have a spare. We are prepared, and so we pull that thing out, slap that thing in, and things go right according to schedule. No problem. Now, in order to keep that up during the following week, someone has to go and pick up another bulb so we have a backup again, a spare again. So Floyd is Mr. Johnny on the spot around here, and he says, "I'll take care of it. No problem. Don't worry about it." But, you know, he realizes how important it is for us to have the projector going, so he doesn't write it down. I mean, it's so important. How could he forget something like that? Well, he doesn't bother to write it down. He knows he'll remember. So let's pretend that this morning we're here at 8:30, and we are singing the first song, "Sing Unto," you know, and we're having a great time. First song, 8:30 service, and the bulb goes out. And we discover that Floyd didn't remember to go by and pick one up. Now think of the songs that we sang this morning. We sang "The King of Glory." Remember that? Most of you are not familiar. I have five verses to that song. We sang "Tell It to Jesus," an old hymn. It has four verses. We sang that song from Habakkuk chapter 3 about the fig trees and the olives and the cattle and the sheep and the chickens. Remember that? Okay. Most of you are just not that familiar with the songs. You could remember, you don't have all the words memorized, these songs. So what are we going to do, though? We don't have a projector. We can't do it. So what, you know, up in the sound booth and back in the office, they're scrambling around, go, "Man, who's open this early on Sunday morning?" You know, and they're calling Walmart and calling Skaggs, trying to track down one of these crazy bulbs. Meanwhile, I'm standing up here. You're sitting out there. I go, "Well, let's sing God Is So Good." We all know that one. God is so good too, you know, or hallelujah. Only one word, hallelujah, you know. The point is, one person forgetting one seemingly insignificant detail could potentially wipe out three services for, you know, over 300 people or something. But I tell you, the crazy thing is that little scenario that I've just painted there, that's typical of how a lot of people live their lives every day. I mean, it's crazy. They're always late. They're always forgetting things. They're always scrambling around at the last minute trying to throw everything together. I just want to encourage you, write things down. Don't think, "Oh, that's important. I'll remember that." Write it down, big, small. Don't put yourself in the position where you're always humiliating yourself by having to say, "Oh, I forgot. That's tonight. Or, oh, honey, I forgot to pick that up on the way home. Oh, I forgot to mail the check." Or don't do that to yourself. One of the first steps towards getting your life together, getting yourself organized in your time, is simply to write it down. Practical suggestion number two. Write out on paper, one, what your priorities in life are, and two, all of the goals that you want to accomplish in your life. Take a piece of paper and just write out Number one, the highest priority in my life is. Number two, the second highest priority, three, four, five. And then take another piece of paper, may take several pieces of paper, and just write out all the goals that you have for your life. Things you want to do, places you want to go, things you want to accomplish, the kind of person that you want to become, the character qualities you'd like to see part of your life, all of the goals that you want to accomplish, write those things down. All your dreams, all your plans, write it all down on paper. Then the next step here on number two is to develop a weekly schedule that reflects and incorporates your goals and priorities. For instance, many of you here have children. Well, your kids are high on your list of priorities. Then you should just make a time in your schedule every week where you're going to spend quality time, not just time watching television or just at the table, where you're going to really devote some quality time to your kids. They're a priority to you. Then make it a part of your schedule. Or let's say you want to lose weight or get in better shape or start lifting weights or doing aerobics or something like that. Then plan that right into your schedule. Decide on the days of the week that you're going to do it, the times of those days. Just make it a part of your weekly life. Some of you are around here, you know, are new Christians, and you probably heard that it's important to spend some time alone with God every day. Then make that a part of your schedule. Pick, here's the best place for me, and here's the best time, considering work, school, kids, whatever. Here's the best time for me. And just make that, make it a habit, a part of your life. I guarantee you that those kinds of things can help. It can make a difference. Because we all have to be honest enough to admit that you're not going to become a good parent by accident. You're not going to get in shape just sort of by accident. You're not going to get into the practice of praying and reading the Bible on a consistent basis just by happenstance. You've got to plan it. You've got to do it on purpose. Now that may seem, it does seem simple. It just seems like, well, yes, that's very obvious. But the truth is, very few people have written out their goals in life. And very few people have sat down to actually clearly define on paper what the priorities of their life are. And fewer still have developed a schedule to where that there it reflects and incorporates their priorities and goals. So weekly, week by week, as they are living according to their schedule, they'll be living according to their priorities, and they'll be making steady progress towards accomplishing their goals as they follow their schedule. Now, most people don't do that. And you know why? That brings me to my third practical observation here. And that is that it requires self-discipline and persistence to get a grip on what you do with your time. It requires self-discipline just to get started, to make the commitment to do it. And it requires a lot of persistence to hang in there until you've got control. But I think that nearly all of us here, if we would put into practice some of the things we've talked about here this morning, that it really could make a difference. It could make a difference. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to do just that. Don't be one of the people who says, well, I just don't have time, you know, to figure out what I do with my time. I'm so busy that I just don't have time to write down my goals and my progress. Don't do that. Remember, your time is your life. And if you're not doing anything productive with your time, you're not doing anything productive with your life. Because your time is your life. One last thing. I just want to refer back once again to the circle that you've drawn. If you still have a pen, I'd like you to draw a smaller circle right in the middle of the bigger circle. And if you look at it now after you've done that, what's in the middle of the smaller circle? What's sort of something that could look like a cross? Just a small little deal in the middle, a cross. And I know that many of you are becoming more serious about God in your life. That's why you're here. You want to get closer to God. You've been coming to church recently because of that. I want to encourage you to think about the fact that, you know, your spiritual life is much too important to just relegate to being a quarter, just another slice in the pie. We need to have Christ at the very center, at the very core of our lives. That's what gives meaning to all the relationships that we have. That's what gives meaning to our work or what we do with our free time. And that's what helps us to get the balance that we're striving for, because we have perspective then. We're doing things on purpose then. We're doing things with some meaning and significance. And we begin to live life as God made us to live, living life to its fullest, because Christ is at the center. Well, I want you to think about your life. Are you sometimes just sort of out of control, always behind, never accomplishing what the things you need to do, having good intentions, never fulfilling them, having goals that just sort of never materialize? Is your life out of balance? I want to encourage you to think about the things that we've talked about here this morning, to go home and really devote some, pick a night this week, a morning this week, where you're going to spend a couple hours working through these things. I want to challenge you to do what you need to do to change your schedule, to change what you do with your time. Let's pray.